Today's shiur is Masechta Shkalim, Taf Gimel, and we're going to begin on the top line of Taf Gimel Amud Aleph. We learned in the Mishnah Masakin and Sedrachim as Rechavis. On the 15th day of Adar, they repaired the roads and the streets. As we explained when we learned the Mishnah, it means the highways that led from one town to the next, or the streets within the town. Thus, Mikvas Mayim, the Mikvas were repaired. And we do all the public needs that are required. Says the Gemara, Eilein Tzarchei Rabim. There's a brisa in Masechta Moed Katan which discusses which Tzarchei Rabim, which public needs may be done on Chol Hamoed. Says the brisa, Don and Dinim Mominus. We're allowed to have a monetary case brought to Beis Din on Chol Hamoed. Within the nefashos, capital cases, dinim makis, a case which involves makis, or poidin erchin, we can redeem erchin. Erchin is what the Torah tells us, that every person, based on their age and their gender, have to pay, have a certain value. So the halacha is that we are allowed to redeem that on Chol Hamoed. V'charomim, if somebody says something is cheirim, it either becomes the kohen's property or hegdish's property, depending on what was said. Here we're learning that if something was a cheirim to hegdish, we're allowed to evaluate it on Chol Hamoed, or as we're learning on Tezvav Adar, to determine its value. Vagdacious, and agdacious are regular agdacious. The Gemara Masechta Erchin points out that Erchin doesn't really need an evaluation, because as we said earlier, every person based on their age and gender has a predetermined value. So Gemara says that Erchin was mentioned here only because it's mentioned together with Charom Magdacious. Or Mashkin as a Saitis. We could give a Saita to drink the water if her husband, under certain circumstances, accused her of adultery. There's actually a machloikis how to understand this Gemara. The Kesef Mishnah understands that we're only allowed to do the evaluation if this woman will be required to drink the Meisaita. But to actually give her the Meisaita on Chol Hamoed would be Asr. However, other Mefarshim explain that even the actual giving her to drink may be done in Chol Hamoed. The Sarfen as a Para, we're allowed to burn the ashes of the Para Aduma to prepare the Mechatos, which were used for a person to become Tahar. The Sarfen Agla Rufa, the halacha is that if a person, if a corpse is found in between two cities and we don't know who killed that person, so we bring an Agla Rufa, we bring a calf, and it has to be decapitated. And the Ziknei Ir of the closest city to that corpse have to say Yudeinu lo shavchu as Adam Hazeb, and the halach is this may be done in Chol Hamoed, and as the Mefarshim explain, even though this involves something which was very public, it still may be done in Chol Hamoed or in Tezvav Adar. For rights in Eved Ivri, the halach is that an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, cannot be sold for more than 6 years. But should the slave decide that he wants to remain longer, the halacha is that, says in Parshas Mishpatim, that his vegisha adonav, his master brings him to the door, v'ratza as oznav b'matzeya, a hole is made in his ear. So the halacha is that this may be done Chol Hamoed or Tezvav Adar. Interestingly, the Mefarshim point out there's a question when we say that an Eved Ivri may, who wants to remain for more than 6 years, has his ear bored, is it on the anniversary of the day he became a servant, or is it any time during the sixth year? From here we seem to have a proof that it's any time during the sixth year, because if it's on the anniversary, what's the point of sitting Tezvav Adar? If Tezvav Adar is the anniversary, so we understand. And if it's not the anniversary, if we say that it has to be done on the anniversary, so what is the significance of Tezvav Adar? Umetarnes Metzaira, we purify Metzaira. Umefarkim es amino megaba mayim, we're allowed to take off the lack from the reservoir of water, but we don't put it back on until the end of the summer. That means during the summer when it didn't rain in Eretz Yisrael, rainwater is therefore caught in the winter season to prepare it in the reservoir for the summer months. So to make sure that no one took this water, the halacha is that they used to secure these pits with locks. On Chol Hamoed Pesach, these locks were removed because the rainy season had now ended, and the pits remained open during the entire summer for people to use the water that they collected. There are other mefarshim that explain that the halacha here is not regarding water, but the halacha is regarding taking a shoe off the mold. Umefarkim haminami al gabi imum. Imum means the mold on which the shoe is put, and the halacha is that it can be removed, however, it cannot be returned. The Rishonim point out that why are these things permitted on Chol Hamoed? Not all of these things are tzarche harabim. Some of these things are private people's requirements. It's rights in Eved Ivri. To make a hole in Eved Ivri's ear is not a community need. It's a need of an individual. In fact, from here we see that the Ritzia, the making a hole of an Eved Ivri in his ear when he wants to remain for longer than 6 years, has to be done in a Bezdin. So they point out that Tzarche Rabim doesn't specifically mean communal needs. Tzarche Rabim means something that you need a Bezdin to do, and all these things are obviously Bezdin required. So we learned in the Mishnah, says the Martamantanina, we learned in the Mishnah in Moed Katan, Mashkin Beis HaShlochim, that we allowed to water an irrigated field on Chol Hamoed, Umetzainin al Kfaris, and we mark the graves on Chol Hamoed. Ask the Gemara, like Kfatzinu Me'adar, didn't we learn in our Mishnah that on Tezvav Adar they already went out and marked the graves? So if they mark the graves on Tezvav Adar, why would they need to do it again on Chol Hamoed? With Tifter, the answer is, Shiyorit Shetav Shal Gemay Gisham V'Shatfai. The Mishnah, my cotton speaking, there was a strong rain came down between Tezvav Adar and Chol Hamoed Pesach that dissolved the lime that was used as a marker. So now we have to do it again, and the Mishnah Sechta Maikotin is teaching us that it may be done again in Chol Hamoed. The Mishnah says in Maikotin, V'yotin afal klayim. Then in Chol Hamoed, we could go out to inspect the fields for klayim. Ask the Gemara, like v'yotz ma'adar, didn't they go out already in Adar, as we learned in our Mishnah, so why do they need to go out again in Chol Hamoed? Tifter answers the Gemara, explain it, Shahoisa Shnara Fela. This is talking in a year where the claps were late, so they were not noticeable in Adar. We had to wait till Nisan until we could determine if there was any klayim in the field. The Gemara Masechta Maikotin gives another answer. The answer is there's a difference between vegetables which grow later and therefore cannot be inspected in Chol Hamoed, and other crops which our Mishnah is referring to that can be inspected earlier in Adar. So we learned in our Mishnah that graves must be marked. Ask the Gemara, Menayin Letzion, from where do we know that graves have to be marked? Rabbi Achya, Rabbi Yaakov bar Bas Yaakov, Breshem Rav Chunya de Bas Chivrin. That's one set who we say might have said this halacha. Others say Rav Yosi Amrilei, there was Rav Yaakov bar Ach Breshem Rav Chunya de Bas Chivrin, and Rav Chizkiya, Rav Ziel, Brei Rav Chunya de Bas Chivrin. b'shem Rav Chunya de Beis Chavrin, say that the Torah says regarding a mitzayra, v'tamei tamei yikra, that we should announce that this mitzayra is contaminated. Why do we announce it? Kedei shtei tuma karo l'cha b'fiyo, we should announce that this person is tamei, v'ayim r'slacha p'raish, and stay away. So we see there's an obligation to separate from the tuma. So here too, we have to separate from a kever, which of course gives off tuma. How? By making a marker. The Gemara in Masechta Ma'id Katan asks that we learn from the pasuk of tamei tamei yikra that we're supposed to announce that the mitzayra is tamei, kedei shiuvak shulav rachamim. So people should daven that he should be healed. So how am I using the pasuk to teach me that we announce somebody is tamei to stay away? Isn't it there to teach us that we should daven for him? So Gemara Masechta Ma'id Katan answers that we could have just said the word tamei once. Why does the pasuk use the word tamei twice? One is to teach us to daven for him, and one is to announce that he's tamei and to separate ourselves from him. The Gemara brings another source that we have to make a marker for a grave. Rav Eila b'shem Rav Shmuel ben Nachman. It says in Yecheskel, "V'ovra ha'ovrim be'eretz, the people who walk by the land, v'ra etzim adam." They will see the bone of a person, and they will build a marker. The pasuk there is talking about the mechama of Gog and Magog, the war of Gog and Magog, that after the war of Gog and Magog, the pasuk says there will be a lot of corpses laying on the ground of Eretz Yisrael, and the pasuk teaches us that somebody who walks by and sees bones of people will have to build a marker. So we see that a marker has to be built by a grave. And like the Gemara Masechta Ma'id Katan explains, the obligation to build a marker really pre-existed Yecheskel. It's before Yecheskel. It was Yecheskel that is the one that told us that this is what has to be done. So Gemara teaches us and explains this pasuk. Etzem, it says a bone. Mikan shemetzainen alav tzomais. Here we see that we have to make a marker for bones, even if the flesh of the mess has decomposed. The bones still give tuma if there's a quarter of a calf of bones. Uvana, mikan adam. The pasuk says adam. Mikan shmitzayim al shedra v'gagoyus. We have to make a marker for the spinal column and the skull of a corpse, even though we don't have most of the bones here, and we don't even necessarily have a quarter of a calf of bones. If we have the spinal column and the skull, there's tuma, and therefore a marker must be built. Uvana, he should build. Mikan shmitzainen al gabi eben kavua. We should build it on top of an attached stone. And the Gemara explains why. Because im oimer at al gabi eben telusha, if we're going to make it on a detached stone, if we're going to use a detached stone as a marker, af hi hoileches umetame makam acher. What's going to happen is the stone will roll away. People will believe that the corpse is under the stone, not under the stone, because that's what the stone indicates. But the corpse is not, the tumma is not really under that stone. The tumma is in the first place where the stone was. So in order to avoid that problem, they use a permanent stone that it should not be able to roll away and mislead us where the tumma is. The pasuk says, "Etzloi lemakam tahara." The marker should be put not right on top of the grave, but on the place which is tar, close to it, in order that the person should notice that something is tumma here before he gets to it. He notices that the marker is there even before. Tzion, and the pasuk says make a marker. From here we see that a marker has to be made. Teaches us a braisa, Tani. Matza even achas mitzianis. If somebody found a single stone marked with lime, apish emekaim kain, even though we shouldn't leave it that way, because really the marker should be distant from the tumah, not right on top of the tumah, because as we said, we don't want the person to get to the marker. If he gets to the marker and then he realizes by his tumah, he's by the corpse, he's by the mess, he will already become tumah with a tumah's oil, because he was like a roof over the mess. Hamal ala tumah. So somebody forms a roof over the stone, he's tumah, because ani oimer mess hayu nasum tachter. There's a mess right under it. So that's why put it a little removed from the mess, that you shouldn't come to this mistake. Rashi Masechta Moed Katan says that this is only a concern if the marker is a low flat marker. So a person will not notice it until he gets to it, and by the time he gets to it, it'll be too late. However, if it's a high stone that the person could see from a distance, then even if the stone is directly on top of the mess, it's still acceptable. Hoyestein, if there were two stones, and there was an area, an empty area between the two stones, Hamal aleihem tar, somebody forms a roof over one of the stones is tar, or beinayim tamei, but the area between the two stones is tamei, because I assume that the two stones are on the two parts of the person's body, one by his head and one by his feet, and the person himself is actually in between the mess. In my yacharish ben time, however, if the area between the two stones was plowed, so we assume that the place where the person was buried was not plowed up, it must be harein ki yichidus, the two stones are considered like individual stones, and beinayim tar, the plowed area between the two stones is tar. We don't assume that there's any mace over there. However, al gabeim tamei, the area on top of the stone is tamei, because I assume that the stone is directly on top of the mess. Tani, we learned in a braisa, Tana taught us, aim at sign al abasar. We don't make a marker for flesh. If the only thing that was buried was the flesh of a mace, we don't make a marker. Shemen is achel habasar, because the flesh may decompose. Once the flesh decomposes, there's no longer any tumah there. So we need to understand what the repercussions are. If a stone will be made for flesh, and then the flesh decomposes, and there's no more tumah, someone who will bring kachim or truma or maisa to that area will say that now I have to burn it, because as we've learned, kachim that become tamei have to be burnt. But it's not true. They don't have to be burnt. There is no tumah there anymore. The flesh decomposed. So Chazal said, if you're only burying flesh, don't make a marker, because down the road you may end up burning kachim, burning truma incorrectly, because there's no longer any tumah over there. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Bashunim bo kamei Ramana. Rabbi Yossi Bashunim asked Ramana, v'lo nimtzu matam mataras l'mafreya. Yes, ultimately there won't be any tumah there, and there's a concern that we may burn some kachim that we should have not. But what about until the flesh decomposes? Why aren't we concerned that if we don't make a marker, a person may bring kachim there, and if he doesn't notice tumah there, we'll end up eating kachim that are tumah? Answers the Gemara, Amalei, mutav shiskakel balashah. It's better that there should be a short amount of time before the flesh decomposes where there can be a concern, rather than forever we should have an issue. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is we're more concerned with the long term than with the short term. In the long term, we're better off without a marker. Yes, for the short term, we would have been better off with a marker, so we follow the long term necessity versus the short term, and therefore we don't make a marker. There are mafarshim that say that the Gemara says this from Sechta Mai Katan, that this is only when we only have a kezias of flesh. So since we started off with such a small amount of flesh, therefore, if that decomposes, we don't have any tumah, that's why don't make a marker. But if there was a significant amount of flesh where it takes quite a while till it decomposes. There, even for flesh, a marker should be made. Before we finish the sugya, there's a tshuva in the Miches Yitzchak that says, based on our Gemara, that if someone left a tzavah, someone left a will that he doesn't want a mitzvah built on his place of burial, we should not listen to what that tzavah says. We learned in our Gemara that tziyon mikan shemitzainin ala kvaros, a tziyon has to be made on every grave. Besides that, the Arizal says there are specific, special inyonim in building a matzeva over a grave. He also says in that tshuva, interestingly, that if one wants to build a monument to commemorate, a lot of monuments were built in different areas to commemorate people who died al Kiddush Hashem, he says it's mutter to build such a monument, provided that the monument is made out of, not made out of one stone, and it doesn't serve any religious significance. Otherwise, there would be a concern of leisasul chametzeva that the Torah says we're not allowed to make monuments. So we learned in the Mishnah that on Tezvav Adar, the Bezdin would send out messengers to check if there were klayim in the field. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah is going to teach us, and the Gemara, what did these messengers actually do? Amar Yehuda, Rishonai Oikrim Ashlichim Lefneim. Originally, the inspectors would uproot the klayim and throw it before the farmers. Mishuraba Avera. However, when there were a lot of people who did an Avera, and we'll explain that in the Gemara in a moment, Haya Oikrim, they would uproot the klayim, or Mishlichim Drachim, and would throw them on the road. Hiskinu, and then ultimately they made a rule, Shemifkirnas Kala Sada, they would declare the entire Sada Hefker if they found, the entire field Hefker if they found Klayim in the field. Amr Yehuda. So the Gemara explains it. Tani Amr Yehuda. Brishonai Oikrim Ashlichim Lefneim. At the beginning they used to uproot the Klayim and throw it in front of the farmers. Vayismechim Shtei Smachis. And the farmers would be doubly happy. Achas Shemnachsim said the same. Number one, they would be happy because inspectors were weeding the fields on their behalf. For Achas, and they were also happy, Shoinenim Klayim, they were able to benefit from the Klayim because the animals now had the Klayim as animal food. Mishraba Avravera. So once such a situation became a big concern, a lot of people were doing this, Hay Mishalchim Al Drachim, they would throw the Klayim not in front of the animals, so the farmers should have food for the animals, they would throw them on the road. But still the farmers were happy, the same, because at least the fields got weeded on their behalf. That's why Chazal made the rule that the entire field should be considered hefker, and that would prevent them from keeping klayim, because they knew that if there is klayim in the field is hefker. In fact, the Drisha says it wasn't even necessary for a Bezdin to come down and specifically declare that any field that that this field that has in it klayim is hefker. It was automatic. Any field that had in it klayim automatically is considered hefker. There's also a question, what is hefker? Is the field hefker or only the fruits hefker? Most mafarshim extrapolate from the wording of our Gemara that not just the fruits are hefker, but even the field itself becomes hefker. And like Rav Chaim Kanievsky says in Derech Amuna, that even if the field becomes hefker and the owner, the farmer owner, goes and tries to be zoich in the field, if he doesn't remove the klayim, it will automatically become hefker again, until the klayim is removed. Now, we learned here that Bezdin has the ability to make something hefker. Ask the Gemara, Menayin Shehefker Bezdin Hefker. From where do we know that Bezdin has this ability? The Ksiv, because it's a pasuk in Ezra, where Ezra announced, V'chol ashla yovel ashloishis hayomim, whoever does not come within 3 days, he was summoning everybody to Yerushalayim, Batzas Asarim V'Zakeidim, with the princes and the elders, Yechrim Kol Chushoy, all of his property will be confiscated, for who Yibodlum Kol HaGoyla, and he will be separated from the rest of the Kol. So we see that Bezdin has the ability to make Hefker. The Chasam Sofer makes the following point. He says that the Gemara Masech the Gittin gives another source for the fact that Bezdin has the right to make something Hefker, that Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The Pasuk says, regarding in Yeshua, when they were dividing up Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Elu ha-nachlois ashenachlu Elazar ha-koyin v'Yeshua ben-Nun v'Roshe ha-Ovos. So the question is, what does Roshe ha-Ovos mean, asked the Gemara? It should have said Roshe ha-Matus, the head of the Shvatim, to teach us ma-Ovos man-Chilim, just like a father has the ability to give an inheritance, Af Bezdin has the ability to decide who should have what. So the Chasam Sofer says, what's the difference between, what's the halachic difference between the pasuk that our Gemara quoted and the pasuk quoted in Masech de Gittin? He says the difference will be what is the power, what is the authority of Hefker Bezdin Hefker. According to our Gemara, perhaps, says the Chasam Sofer, Hefker Bezdin Hefker means that Bezdin could say that this property is considered ownerless, it's not my property anymore. But perhaps Bezdin doesn't have the ability to take my property and give it to someone else. That much power they don't have. However, according to the Gemara Masech the Gittin, that says that Hefker Bezdin is like Ovois, it's like Yerusha. So just like that, a father has the ability to give his property to one of his sons or to another one of his sons, so too, he has this ability, Bezdin has the ability not just to take it away from me, but to give it to someone else. Continues the Gemara. Menayin shipot turim emaisrus. How do we know that Bezdin has such a strong power that when they declare something hefker, it's hefker to the degree that there's no chiv maisa? Because the halach is that a field which is ownerless, there's no chiv maisa. Says the Gemara, Rav Yonasan Bereda, Rav Yitzchak Bar Acha, Shomer Lo Mahada. Learned it from the following braisa. The halacha is, Eim Arvim Sashana, we don't make a leap year, add a second Adar, Loi B'Shvius, not during a Shemitah year, but Loi B'Matzah Shvius, and not the year after the eighth year. V'Mebrua, but if they did make it into a Shemitah year, Harez Muberes, it's halachically considered a leap year. V'Chodesh Achat Shemaisef, now the year that he adds in the Shemitah year, loy potter meiser su, isn't a potter from meiser, because the halacha is that all produce that grows during the Shemitah year is potter from meiser. So we see that the court, when they do something, has the ability to make a ptur, to make an exemption from meiser. Says the Gemara, nicha shvius, it's understandable why we wouldn't make a Shemitah year into a leap year. It's hard enough that they're not allowed to work the 12 months. Let's not extend it to 13th month. Why are we not allowed to make the 8th year into a leap year? Amar Rav Rebbe Buna Rabbi Avon Shlei L'Rabbis B'Sachadosh. The halacha is that until the second day of Pesach, we're not allowed to eat from the new crop of this year. If we extend the year by a month, we will extend the time that you're not allowed to eat the Chodesh, which became Mutter on the second day of Pesach. So we don't want to do that, especially since this was the year after a year that we didn't work, that we didn't work the field. So we don't want to extend this Chodesh in the eighth year. Rav Zeir b'Shem Rav Elazar, Hador da'at Amar, this that you said that we don't make the eighth year into leap year, is actually hit the Rebbe Lavi Yerek Mechutz Laretz. Only before Rebbe allowed them to bring vegetables from Chutz Laretz to Yisrael. Because originally Chazal said that vegetables should not be brought from Chutz Laretz to Yisrael, because they declared that all of the earth of Chutz Laaretz is Tamei. Aval Mishahit the Rebbe Lahavi Yerek Mechutz Laaretz Laaretz. Once Rebbe said you could bring vegetables from Eretz Yisrael, from outside Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, he Shvius, he Shel Shah Shmiyah. Shmita year is the same as any other year. We can make any year, the seventh year or the eighth year, into Shmita, because we have what to eat from Chutz Laaretz. Tani Eima Abram. We learned that we're not allowed to make the Shmita year into a leap year. Amr Abman had, and the eighth year into a leap year. Hadodat Amr, says the Gemara, that was only said Brishoina, at the earlier years, Sheshanim Kitikunam, where the plants grew properly. So therefore, the new crop was ready. And now, by adding a month, we're delaying the ability to eat those new crops. As we said before, Chazal shouldn't do that. Av Achshav, now, She'en Hashem Tikatukunam, that the new crops aren't anyway ready by then. He Matishvius, He Shashneshvur, the eighth year is the same like any other year, and we can make the eighth year into a leap year. Tani, and we learned in a Braisa, Shabesu Gamliel, in the Bezdin of Rav Gamliel, Ibru Ben Matishvius Miyad. The beginning of the eighth year they already made into Shemitah, because they knew, as we learned before, that they could bring fruits and vegetables from Chutz Laaretz, and they don't have to be concerned by making the year longer and not and making it more difficult to have fruits and produce, because they can have produce from Chutz Laaretz. Amma. So we see from here, however, getting back to our point, that Besdin has the ability to make something Shemitah, to make something into a leap year, which will be a Shemitah year, which will be Pater from Isa. So we see that they have the ability to exempt Maisa. Amar Rav Oven, so Rav Oven said, Im min hadah, if this is your proof, less at Shema min haklum. It's not a valid proof. Because the Torah tells us, Shmar es chodesh aviv, guard the month of ripening. So we learn, Shmar shemreyu shiviyu b'chadoshay, make sure that the spring and comes out during the month of Nisan. So what the Torah is telling us is that Pesach and Chodesh Nisan should be in the spring. And if Besdin sees that it's not going to be that way, they have the obligation to make it into a leap year. So it's not that they're acting on their own, like Hefker, Besdin, Hefker. It's, they're acting because that's what the Torah told them. And therefore, it's no proof that Hefker, Besdin, Hefker can exempt from Maisa. Vahaida Amada. So what is the proof that Hefker, Besdin, Hefker could exempt from Maisa? From here, the halacha is that when someone collects the bundles from his field, if one or two bundles fall, he's not allowed to take them, he has to leave them for the poor people. It's one of the matnas aniyim. Says the Gemara, there's a brayse that says, if there's a pile from under which the leket has not been gathered, that means somebody went and put on top of the leket his own produce. The owner went and did that. Kol ha-noigis ba'aretz, any grain that touches the earth, harein shalaniim, becomes the property of the poor people and has the din of leket. Vom Ravami, and Ravami explained, B'shem Rav Shimon Lakish, the Beis Shammai. This Mishnah, it's actually a Mishnah, not a Braisa, is going according to Beis Shammai, who says that something can be considered Hefker only for one group of people, even though it's not Hefker for everybody. Because either Beis Hillel, if we're going to say that this Braisa is going according to the Beis Hillel, Anim Oichlem, yes, Chazal have the ability to say that all this produce that was put on top of the leket should belong to poor people. However, Ma'asrim, they would have to take off Ma'aser because it's not Hefker. Vamalei, and if it's not Hefker, certainly it's obligated to take off Ma'aser. Vamalei Reb Yossi, and Reb Yossi said, Shemanu Shepotim Ma'aser Devriyakol. Everybody, even Beis Hillel, agree that it's Potter for Ma'aser. Why? Mishum Knosa. Since the court, the Besdin, has the right to make this penalty. They have a right to call it Hefker, and they have a right to say that it's part of from Isa. So here we see the power of Beis Din. The Beis Din has the ability to make something Hefker, and when they make it Hefker, it's part of from Isa. So now we begin describing in the Mishnah what happened in collecting the Chatzi Shekel. Says the Mishnah, B'shoin b'chamisha asabah, 15 days in Adar, Shulchanos ha'yosh b'medina, money changers would sit in the Medina. They were called Shulchanos because they used to sit by a table. Does machlokes what Medina means? Does it mean Yerushalayim, or does it mean out anywhere in Eretz Yisrael? Besser v'chamishim ba, on 25 days, on the 25th day of Nisan, Yoshua Migdash. They sat down in the base of Migdash. Says the Mishnah, Mishyoshua Migdash, once they were sat down in the base of Migdash, Hischilu Lamashkin. They would take pledges from people who did not bring the shekel, the machzor of the shekel by then. What is the significance of the 25th? So the Mefarshim explain. The halach is, we learned this in Masechet Pesachim, that an animal, before it's brought in the Mizbeach, requires 4 days of Bikur, 4 days of examination if it's not blemished. So, by the 26th of Adar, they had to already start getting ready to use animals from next year. Because as we learned in the previous year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the date when we start using the new Machzor HaShekel. So on the 25th, if they saw that the people hadn't given the Machzor HaShekel, since by the 26th they're going to have to start using from the new animals, so therefore they started taking pledges whoever didn't pay by then. There's a machloikis exactly how they got these animals. If they had to get the animal on the 26th, but the new shkolim were used only in Rosh Chodesh Nissan, so how did they pay for these animals on the 26th? So some of Farshim say they didn't pay for, they took the animals and they started examining the animals on the 26th of Adar, but didn't pay for them actually until Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And other Mefarshim say that they already took out money that had been delivered from the new money to pay for those animals, since those animals will be used after the 1st of Nisan. Esnim Mashkinim, from whom did they extract pledges? Levim v'Yisraelim, from Levim Yisraelim, Gerim, from Gerim Avadim Shechrarim, freed slaves, Avloi Noshim Avadim Ktanim, not from women or servants or minors. The Kol Katan Shehiskel Aviv Lishkel Yodai, any child whose father began to give Machzor Shekel on his behalf, Shuvah and the Paisik should not stop. And there's a machloikis between the Rabbi Tanur and the Tosfos Yontif. What will be the halacha if someone's father, a child's father, start giving a mashkin on his behalf, and then the father died? Does the child still have to give now that the father is no longer here? The Rabbi Tanur says that the father still has to give. The Tosfos Yontif says, why should he have to give? So Tosfos Yontif explains that perhaps it's talking that the father left an inheritance for the child. That's when the Rabbi Tanur will say that the father still has to give for the child. But if the father did not have, the father did not leave an inheritance, just because the father started giving, that doesn't have to, the child doesn't have to give, continue to give. Eimah Mashkin is Kahanim, but we do not take pledges from the Kahanim, from Neidak Shalom, because to promote peace. We'll explain that in the Gemara soon. The Minchas Chinuch asks, when we say that we take a Mashkin, what does that mean? Why do we have the right to take the pledge? Is it because the person has a monetary obligation to pay the Machzor HaShekel, and therefore if he's not paying his obligation, we have a right to extract the money? Or is it because we want him to force to do a mitzvah? What is the nafka mina, says the Minchas Chinuch, if the person isn't here? If it's because he has a monetary obligation, we have a right to take his assets to pay for the Machzor HaShekel. If, on the other hand, it's because we want to force him to do a mitzvah, so it's only when he's here do we have a right to force him. If he's not here, we can't force him. So the Mishnah says, women aren't obligated to give the machzis a shekel. And there are two reasons given the Rishonim. The Rabbi Atanura says, because it says in the Pasuk, V'nosnu ish koifer nashoi, ish v'loy isha, a man and not a woman. The Miri says, because it's a mitzvah saseishas man groma, because it's given once a year. And as we know, women are exempt from mitzvah saseishas man groma. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, based on this, that women, even though they're obligated to daven, like the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, Rachmei Ninu, we have to ask for mercy. But says the Miches Chinuch, it says the Rekiv Eger, they don't have to daven Musaf. Because Musaf is not a tefillah of Rachmei. Musaf is a tefillah to correspond to the carbon seber of Musaf. And we see here that women are exempt from that chiv. That's why they don't have to give machzis a shekel. So women are exempt from davening musaf. So two questions are asked. The stipler asks, if so, we're going to learn in a moment that kahanim may be exempt from the machzis a shekel. If so, that if that's the case, why do they daven musaf? So the stipler says an interesting chiddush. He says there are two dinim in the Kabbonis Tzibra. There's one din that everybody had to contribute machzis a shekel, and not everyone, whoever the Torah tells us, as we're learning in the Mishnah. And from those machzis a shekel, the Kabbonis Tzibra were bought. And perhaps, as we're going to learn, Kohanim are exempt. But, says the stipler, let's say there's not enough money came in from the machzis a shekel, and we still need to bring the Kabbonis Tzibra. Then everybody in Klal Yisrael has to donate for those Kabbonis Tzibur. For that, Kohanim are certainly included. Since Kohanim are included in that obligation, so they do have a relationship to the Kabbonis Tzibur, and that's why they daven Musaf. Women would never be obligated to contribute, that's why they're exempt. But ask the Maram Shik, so if women are exempt, as Rekiv Eger says, how may they daven Tfilas Musaf? Because the halacha is that on Shabbos we're not allowed to daven a tefillas nedava, something which you're not obligated to daven. So he answers, just since we learned in the Mishnah the women aren't obligated to give, but they may give, similarly that's why they're allowed to daven musaf and it's not considered a tefillas nedava. Amr Bihuda, Hayd ben Bukhri b'Yavna. Ben Bukhri taught us in Yavna, Kekoin sheshekel ena chayta. If a kohen gives a half shekel, he doesn't do an aveira, even though he doesn't have to give it. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, loiki. That's incorrect. El kol kohen sheena shekel, if a kohen doesn't give the machzis a shekel, chayta, he's considered that he did an aveira. El shekohanim darshim mikrozel atzmim. The kohanim used to explain the pasuk this way, in order to exempt themselves from the machzis a shekel. The pasuk says, "V'kam miches koyin kol ti eloi soichel." Any miche a koyin brings should be completely burnt; it should not be eaten. Now we know hoyel the oimer v'shtei lechem and lechem upon him shalanu that the machzis a shekel was used to buy the carbon oimer and the shtei lechem, the lechem upon him, and these were eaten. But if the kahanim contribute to the machzis a shekel heich necholim, how could you eat these carbon mincha? And must be, they said that they shouldn't contribute. So we learned, Eim Mashkin is Ketanim. We don't take pledges from Ketanim. Holotfoya, Taivin. We ask them to contribute. We just don't take a pledge. Hadad Taima explains the Gemara when, B'shehevi Shtei Saris, when the child is 13 years old and brought two hairs. Aval Imloy Hevi Shtei Saris, if he's not 13 years old, we didn't bring the two hairs, loy bada, they're not included, then we don't even ask them. Well, a mashkin, aim a mashkinin, and to take a pledge for them, we don't take Achshia ben Esrim until he's 20 years old. So, what we're saying, explains the Takel Charetin, is that there are three stages in a child. Until he's 13 years old and two hairs, we don't even ask him for machzis a shekel. From 13 years old and two hairs, we ask him, and from 20 we take a pledge. Explains the Har Ephraim what this means. What's the difference between 13 and 20? Doesn't a child become bar mitzvah when he's 13 and 2 years? So he explains that there are two reasons for the mitzvah nachas shekel. One is because the pasuk says ze yitnu kol oivel pekudim. Everybody who's counted has to give a machzis shekel, and everybody has to contribute to the kabbonis tzibur. A child before 20 isn't part of the count, isn't part of the census of Klal Yisrael, because the pasuk says we only counted people, males who are over 20 years old. So the only reason a child, a boy who's 13 till 20 is contributed to machzis shekel is just because he should be part of the kabbonis tzibur. But the pasuk says regarding kabbonis, lirit soinchem, you have to want, it has to be to your will. So if so, we can't force a person under 20 to give to the machzis shekel, because he's only giving a machzis shekel because he should be part of the carbon. And the carbon is only lirit soinchem if he's anxious, willing to do it. Kinim es nisan, we learned in a braisa, eim emashkin es kahanim, we don't take pledges from the Kahanim, neider kavod, because we want to treat them respectfully. So, as the Mefarshim explained, the Mishnah says we don't take a machzis shekel from Kahanim, because neider kisholim, this is the way Menachem Meshev of Nefesh explains the Gemara, because it weighs a piece. So he says, if that's the reason, then we should never take from anyone, we should never force anyone. Isn't there a concept of darkei shalom? So that's why the Gemara says it's not darkei shalom, it's darkei kavod. And for kohen, there's an obligation to treat him with kavod, because the pasuk says v'kidashtoi, but that isn't relevant by everyone else. Rabbi Yehuda hated. So Yehuda said that Ben Nochri said that kahanim did not contribute to the machzis shekel. Amar Brachya, Tam de Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the reason for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it says the Kahanim should contribute to the Machzis Shekel, because the Pasuk says, Ze Yitnu, they should give, and Ze is Begmatria 12, Shneim Asa Shvatim Yitnu, all 12 Shvatim should contribute to the Machzis Shekel. And as the Mefarshim explain, Menashe and Ephraim, although are considered separate Shvatim, and Shevet Levi is not considered a separate Shevet, that's only regarding dividing up Eretz Yisrael, but that is not regarding anywhere else. And everywhere else, Menashe and Ephraim are one Shevet, and Levi is a Shevet. Rev Tevi b'shem Rev Hamnuna, Kach meshivim Chacham Rabbi Yehuda, say the Chacham to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds like Ben Bukhri, Chatis Yochid Mesa, we learned that under certain circumstances, if somebody designated a Karban Chatis and then he has a different kapara or different circumstances, the Karban Chatis is left to die. But ein Chatis Tzibah Mesa, that doesn't apply to the Chatis of the community. Michas a Yochid Krev a Kolol, the Mincha of a Yochid of an individual kind has to be burnt. However, ein Michas Tzibah Krev a Kolol, the Mincha of the community doesn't have to be burnt. So he asks to him, you said in the Mishnah, the reason a Kohen doesn't contribute to the Machzis Shekel is because then the carbon minchas tzibur, how could they be eaten? They should be burnt. Says, so he asks, it's not a, that din is only by carbon yachid, that a carbon yachid of a Kohen has to be burnt. When, and we, our Mishnah, the Machzis Shekel was used for carbon tzibur. The kasha, so the question is, do we ask to somebody something that he doesn't agree to? The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, that a chatzit tzibur is not left to die, it just has to get blemished. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Thomas. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda does not differentiate between a chatzit tzibur and a chatzit yachid. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us, zuloi nidvas yachid hi, the shekel, the half machzis shekel that the kohen gives, is not a yochid's individual divisional, v'anum is sivinle, and therefore we tell him kivin shnimtzur b'tzibur. The tzibur tells him. So Yehuda says it's not the donation of an individual, and therefore it should make the carbon mincha of a yochid that should not be allowed to be eaten. And we answer him, once the machzor shekel is given to the communal fund, it becomes a carbon tzibur, not a carbon yachid. And there's a very powerful word from the Rogachover, which will be very important in this Masechta many times. The Rogachover explains, a carbon tzibur is not that a community is a compendium, a combination of many individuals, and therefore we would have a concern if one of the individuals, or maybe more than one individual, is a kohen, the mincha of a kohen has to be burnt, not eaten. There's a new concept in halacha. There's a concept in halacha called a tzibur. That is a new concept. That's a new entity. And that entity doesn't have the halacha of a kohen's carbon being burnt. Ksiv. It says in the pasuk regarding the machzor shekel, kala over al b'kudim, whoever goes through the census. So the machloik is how to understand this pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya, charama kala over b'yam yitin, whoever went through the yamsuf has to contribute, and therefore kahanim levim also went through the yamsuf, they have to contribute. The charama, the other one says, kala the over b'kudai yitin, whoever goes through the census has to contribute. Mandam called the Yam Yitin. Whoever said the way we went through the Yam Suf has to give. Messiah Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai will support Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's psak. The Kahanim have to contribute because they went through the Yam Suf. Man the Omer called the Ova B'Kudai Yitin. Whoever went through the census has to give. Messiah Ben Bukhri will say that Kahanim don't have to give. And actually, the Mefarshim say that even Leviim won't have to contribute because Leviim also weren't together with the rest of Klal Yisrael when they were counted. Klal Yisrael when they were counted.